Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. As always, we thank you for listening to this program and for listening to American Family Radio. A lot to talk about today. Let's see, at 11:30, what do we got at 10:35?
Well, we're going to have Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's going to be talking about an article he wrote, "The Democratic Party Has Destroyed the Black Community."
Pretty provocative title there.
Yes, it is. And so we'll be talking to him about that. Next hour, Abe Hamilton will be in to help us sift through a new kind of a speech code for the American Bar Association. This is troubling, this kind of speech code that we're going to talk about, where if you're an attorney, you're not even allowed at a private dinner, for example, to talk about issues like same-sex marriage or abortion.
This is being proposed?
This is now... I think this is now in place. I don't want to talk out of school here, but
we'll ask Abe.
Yeah, we'll ask Abe.
Abe is an attorney himself. Of course, he's on with us here.
These are new ethics rules. I was looking for my paper. New ethics rules announced by the American Bar Association. So this is current new rules.
It's the speech police.
Yes. You can be challenged. If anybody is offended, even at a private dinner, and they report you to the ABA, you could lose your law license. Your license.
Potentially. We'll talk to Abraham Hamilton III. Abe will be in to discuss that. He's public policy analyst for AFA and also a constitutional attorney himself. So a lot to talk about on this program in the next hour and a half. First of all, our good friend Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, who is a resident of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I heard Tony talking on Washington Watch yesterday and decided to ask him on this program, different time slot. Maybe some folks who didn't hear that program would like to hear what Tony had to say yesterday today regarding the flooding situation in Louisiana, and Tony joins us via the phone. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Ed, how y'all doing?
Doing better than you, my friend. And you know, as far as what you guys are suffering through down there in South Louisiana, first of all, the flooding, you live in Baton Rouge, the flooding has affected you personally, right?
Yeah, it did over the weekend. The water started rising Friday and Saturday, and we literally had to escape in a bateau and a canoe to paddle away from our house. I've never seen anything like it. I've been here for all my adult life. Have went through hurricanes. Been involved in relief efforts in Katrina and Gustav, and I'll have to say, when it's all said and done, this is probably going to be bigger than Katrina because it is so widespread in the regions of these various rivers in South Louisiana, and the devastation is almost total. And as I mentioned on the program, that is not something I've talked about a lot, but about 6 weeks ago, I took on the additional role as an interim pastor of my home church as I fly back and forth from D.C. each week. Well, at least half of our families, and we're the largest church in the community, have been displaced. There's not a family here that's not been affected. It's pretty significant.
But you can take that and spread it out, 100 miles from Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a circuit.
And I don't have all the information.
Right.
Normally, in these disasters, I've been working statewide with the Pastors Network, and when Bobby Jindal was governor, I worked with his team in the disaster relief. Well, we're kind of cut off from that. Being affected by it ourselves, but we have a different administration that is not as focused on calling out to the faith-based community. And of course, the president doesn't want to be interrupted from his vacation to look at what's happening. But
Yeah,
we're gonna make it through this.
Tony, let me ask you this: as I understand it, 30 inches of rain fell in about a 48 to 72 hour period. Is that right?
I don't know the exact number, but I can tell you it was a lot. I have never seen the amount of water. We had 10 feet of water at the end of our driveway. I tried getting out. I mean, we live kind of in a rural area. I've got a large tractor that I keep up my place with. I couldn't even bring up my tractor with a snorkel, but I couldn't even get my tractor out to try to get the family out. That's why we had to resort to a boat.
Well, I heard this morning.
Go ahead. One of the first calls I made was to Franklin Graham's folks on Sunday morning when I realized just how significant this was. And Samaritan's Purse is set up here on site at our church, which the sanctuary didn't flood. The other properties did, but our sanctuary is intact, and we're housing relief workers. And so anyone that would want to come help clean out these houses and help people at least begin the process of putting their lives back together, Samaritan's Purse is coordinating that, and we would welcome any and all who could come to Baton Rouge and in the surrounding areas to help to contact us and let us know.
Well,
I looked up, USA Today is reporting, according to the area surrounding Baton Rouge, anywhere from 4 inches to 26 inches of rain fell.
In a short period of time, 48 hours.
What was problematic is that preceding that had been about 5 days of rain to where everything was saturated, and then the rivers, broke every record in terms of the flood stage. Now, I was a sheriff's deputy back at the last big flood back in 1983, and this eclipsed that in such a significant way. And most people who were affected did not have flood insurance because they just, quite frankly, they didn't need it, and as a result, none of their losses are covered because homeowners insurance does not cover flood. So it's going to be a very difficult rebuilding process here as people try to put things back together. But the main thing is, this is a great opportunity for the body of Christ, and we're already seeing it. It's folks from across the country, and as I said, Franklin Graham sent a team down here. Billy Graham's ministry is on the site. Convoy for Hope, Dave Joyce Myers, just everybody that is involved in ministry are responding. And that's really what I think reflects the grace that is found in Christ. You see it in the body of Christ. And so, again, the folks can go to Samaritan's Purse and volunteer, find out information how they can. We've set up a disaster fund at our church through FRC. It's frc.org/flood for folks that may not be able to come but want to help the community. They can do so at that site.
We're also going to be talking to Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope, and they're going to Louisiana to help out too. Talk to him in about 2 or 3 minutes here, which they're affiliated with us here. But certainly Samaritan's Purse is a worthy, reputable ministry to work with as well. One other question, Tony. So you're not in your house. What are you and your family doing?
Well, fortunately, and I'm so grateful that our motorhome that we go camping in was high enough that only the compartments underneath got water and didn't get water inside. So we're going to be on an extended camping trip in our front yard. So, but no boating, hoping, just camping.
Well, Tony, man, wow, I don't know what to say. That many people affected, but you're right. It's a great opportunity for Christian people to minister to others and to be a witness and, make lemonade, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Whatever that saying.
Yeah, we don't want to make lemons out of lemonade, but we'll make
No, I didn't want. I was just thinking I need to avoid anything liquid oriented. Anyway, Tony, thanks, brother, for being on with us, and we'll pray for you guys and hopefully send people.
All right. Good to talk to y'all. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too, Tony. I can't imagine. This, according to According to what I have, the information I have here from MSN, is this MSN? NBC News. This is 13 dead, 8,400 people in shelters, and 40,000 homes damaged, 30,000 people rescued. Now that is 8 hours ago, according to NBC News. Listen to what I said. Of course, loss of life, 13 passed away so far that they know of. 8,400 people in shelters, 40,000 homes damaged. 40,000 homes damaged.
He said that this could be worse than Katrina in terms of widespread damage.
I could see that because Katrina was basically confined to New Orleans as far as the flooding goes.
Yes.
And the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which was devastated.
Right. Entire communities disappeared.
Yeah, it was just
gone.
A wall of water comes in a mile.
Yeah.
Onto the coastline, you can imagine what that does. But man, I just, you know, think about it with a lot of disasters. Take a tornado, for example. Okay, you can drive 10 miles and help somebody, and your house wasn't affected.
Right.
All right. In this situation in Louisiana and in parts of southwest Mississippi, you got everybody's, like he said, everybody's affected. So everybody's got their own little world to worry about.
Yeah, and there's nowhere you can go. I mean, you can't go down the street to your neighbors because your house got hit by the tornado.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, you can't
drive
5 miles.
We're staying with our cousin 10 minutes away. No, everybody's house has got water in it.
Right.
So to speak. I mean,
it's very dangerous. I mean, to have water, there's disease and,
snakes
and all kinds of stuff, and houses can collapse. You know, he did mention, and this I read this an editorial from The Advocate, which I believe is the Baton Rouge newspaper. But they said here's the editorial: vacation or not, a hurting Louisiana needs you now, President Obama. And they were basically criticizing the president, comparing it to the backlash that President George W. Bush got in 2005 when he just did a flyover after Katrina. You remember he was criticized for neglecting the American people when they had a tragedy. But the Advocate said it's past time for the president to pay a personal visit, showing his solidarity with suffering Americans. He said if the president can interrupt his vacation for a swanky fundraiser for fellow Democrat Hillary Clinton, as he did on Monday, then surely he can make time to show up for a catastrophe that's displaced thousands. So good to see at least one media outlet being just as critical for the Democratic president as they were the Republican president during a tragedy of this magnitude.
Yeah, and what President Bush did, not to revisit that too much, but it probably was an optics mistake for him.
Right.
I think he was on his ranch near Waco and was flying back to D.C., But you gotta consider what you have to do to get you gotta land Air Force One, then you gotta get your old entourage. You know what I'm saying? It's a big deal. It probably could have been done, but I think that was in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah, and they did
like
point
the 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to organize a presidential landing after Katrina within 24 hours, and when everybody's trying to clean up. I mean, everybody's trying to find their loved ones and such. So I think that was unfair to President Bush, quite frankly. But here we have President Obama on vacation.
Yeah,
and maybe he will. He may well.
Well, that's what they're saying. You need to. And to your point, they do mention the fact that sometimes a president coming right in can do more harm than good.
Especially within 24 hours. I don't know how you practically put that into place. I think that would be within 24 hours. It would almost be irresponsible of a president to try to force a community, because then you got your law enforcement's got to scout out where he's going, Secret Service and all that stuff.
And they're already busy.
It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. So maybe, but I do think within a week that a president should show up.
Well, and they point out also the power of optics. And this editorial says the optics of Obama golfing while Louisiana residents languished in floodwaters
was striking.
That's optics are important.
He's never cared about that. I remember him doing a press conference with President Obama talking about an American having his head cut off.
That was a it was a uh, was a journalist, wasn't he?
He had his head cut off, and then 15 minutes later, it shows President Obama high-fiving on the golf course.
Was it Daniel
It was just terrible Pearl optics. Or, yeah. No, it was somebody else, but it was he doesn't. Anyway, that's a different story. I think everybody knows that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Speaking of help for the people in Louisiana, 8 Days of Hope, the ministry that AFA's partnered with for years and years, AFA and AFR, they do relief work and rebuilding work around the country at least once a year and sometimes more. And Steve Tiber is the volunteer director of 8 Days of Hope, and he joins us now. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Boy, it's one thing after another, isn't it?
Where are you today?
Yeah.
Because I thought you went to South Carolina.
Yeah, and actually, that's where I am at today. Our Hope Reigns leaders and some other 8 Days of Hope leaders are in Baton Rouge. They're setting up camp. The volunteers are showing up today. But as you know, we have another trip in October for 8 Days of Hope. We plan to rebuild 250 homes in South Carolina, and there's some planning that has to be done there. So,
because of flooding, right? The same thing that happened last year. What happened in Louisiana happened in South Carolina last year, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the need is everywhere, and thank God that so many volunteers are willing to drop everything in a minute's notice. We'll have hundreds of volunteers in the Baton Rouge area by tomorrow. We have 100 families already that are expecting us to show up to gut their houses and to take care of it before mold sets in. It's a mess, guys. It really is.
All right. Before we move any further with this, challenge our listeners. What do you need? Steve, they know you. Our listeners know you. 8 Days of Hope. What are you asking for, and where can people go to find out more information?
Yeah, I tell you, we need volunteers. We need as many that are willing to head down toward the Baton Rouge area. And they can go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Hope Reigns. That's the ministry arm of 8 Days of Hope. They go anywhere 3 to 5 days after disaster. They'll be gutting out homes, tarping roofs, going through people's belongings, trying to salvage what can be salvageable. They're just going to love people and serve people all in Jesus' name. But if you can give a day or two of your life over the next 2 weeks, we need as many people down in Baton Rouge as possible. Go to our website or our Facebook page. You'll find a lot more information about the Baton Rouge, Louisiana situation.
You want to give a phone number and the website again?
Sure. Really, the best way is the website.
It's
daysofhope.com. And literally there, you can contact us. There will be a phone number and email address. If you're listening in that area and you need help as well, feel free to go ahead and contact us through our website. Right now, we'd rather under-promise and over-deliver. We have 100 families that are on our list. We have stopped taking names to help right now, but we have a standby list in case the volunteers really show up in droves. We provide the food and the lodging. You just have to get down to that area. You do need to have to be 18 because it is an area that's still an emergency situation. But, man, we would love if literally 50, 100 people just signed up today to say, hey, count on us. We'll be heading that way.
And, Steve, if people can't make it down there, they can give, right, to 8 Days of Hope online?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You know, we're an all-volunteer organization, and so the dollars that we are spending in 2 states right now are provided by your listeners and people throughout the country. We've been blessed to watch this ministry explode in a good way since Katrina, since I met with you, Tim, and you guys helped get this thing moving. God is just using this ministry called 8 Days of Hope in amazing ways, not to our glory, because we're not that good, but he is, and he's opened up door after door. And again, in Louisiana, they're going to see a glimpse of that hope that we know in knowing Jesus.
Yeah,
and you guys have stories, and we've heard them many times on the air, and our listeners have heard that, because you don't discriminate against who you help. I mean, you're not just saying we're only going to help Christians. I mean, this is a ministry that presents the love of Christ and the gospel to people, and a lot of times while you're helping try to restore some normalcy to their lives, you're also loving these folks. As you mentioned, it makes an impact on them, doesn't it?
think about it. You're a homeowner, and people that you don't know show up and say, we're here to help. We're here to gut your house for free. We're here to pull up your carpets for free. We're here to bring you cleaning supplies so we can take care of your home so mold doesn't sit in. And while you're there for 2-3 days, they ask you, why did you come? Why would you come from New York or Illinois or Iowa or North Carolina? I always tell the volunteers, that's your opening. God has opened up a door for you to share with them why you do and why what we do, why we do what we do. And so you're right. I can tell you dozens of stories of homeowners. I've seen homeowners fall on their knees in their concrete driveway and enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ because they heard and saw truth. And Hope Reigns, 8 Days of Hope, gives us many opportunities to share that truth.
And just in case people are a little confused about the two names, 8 Days of Hope is the name of is the umbrella organization in the ministry. You do a lot of work. Hope Reigns is kind of like your mobile emergency force. Just days after a disaster, this group, this smaller group, goes and begins the process of helping these folks, right?
Absolutely. So we go to the disaster 3 to 5 days afterwards, and we'll stay multiple weeks. And then 8 Days Old comes 6 months to 18 months afterwards, and we'll rebuild, sometimes from the ground up, hundreds of homes. Again, all this, no charge. We do it for one reason. We love God, and we want to love show our love for him by loving others as well. And that's what 8 Days Open Hope Reigns has been doing. So, yeah, if someone wants to donate, we're a 501c3. Go to our website. Please go to our website and consider volunteering on one of these two trips. But right now the need is in Louisiana. And, boy, be praying. I tell you, Phil, some of the stories I heard even this morning through our leaders, they're heartbreaking. So many needing help right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Irony is Steve and his team are in South Carolina, where, if you remember, this very thing happened to them last year.
Right.
Remember, it flooded. You get these freak rain storms that just sit on areas.
Right.
It happened in Nashville about what?
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
6-7 years ago?
Flooded the city downtown.
Mm-hmm. Opryland Hotel. I remember the Opryland Hotel was closed because it was flooded. And anyway, it just...
Well, and like Tony Perkins we had on earlier from Family Research Council, he lives in Baton Rouge
right.
and flies back, and his home got flooded during
right.
the storm. But as he pointed out, a lot of times there is rain that comes in before the big storm, saturates the ground, so
right.
it can't absorb anything. Then you get these huge storms that, just like you said, just sit over an area, dump in down in Baton Rouge. You said you've heard estimates up to 30 inches of rain.
That's what I read.
Yeah, and where's that going to go? It just got no place to go, so rivers overflow.
Right.
And then homes who have never been in flood zones before get flooded. I mean, it's not
well,
anything.
A lot
it's
of
not
people
neglect.
Don't. A lot of people whose homes were impacted, I would guess, didn't have flood insurance.
Right.
Because you say to yourself, how could it ever flood here?
Right.
As you look around, and you're not in a flood zone.
Right.
And, you know, when you buy a piece of property, you could find, you know, well, they don't build in flood zones.
Right.
Yeah, but like when you get 30 inches of rain in 72 hours and the ground's already saturated, the water's gonna rise.
Yeah,
it's gonna make rivers.
Right.
So anyway, pray for the 8 Days of Hope ministry and their volunteers as they travel to Baton Rouge and that
either
area.
Volunteer or give maybe to 8 Days of Hope, 8daysofhope.com.
Okay, we're gonna be back after the break. We're gonna talk to Bishop E.W. Jackson. He says the Democrat Party has destroyed the black community. What in the world is he talking about? We'll get him to comment when we get back.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct.
Giraffes
do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the...
the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Let's say your 10th grader forgets his lunch, so he gives you a call at work and asks if you can bring it to school. What would you do? Some parents would drop everything and take care of their youngster. But that kind of behavior is not allowed at Catholic High School for Boys in Little Rock, Arkansas. The school prides itself on teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and problem solving. There's a big sign on the front door alerting parents to a very important rule. Parents are told to turn around and leave if they're showing up to deliver a forgotten item, like homework. The sign was also posted on the school's Facebook page and has since gone viral. Parents from coast to coast are praising the Catholics for teaching boys about self-reliance. It's a lesson that sadly seems to be lost in public schools where children are coddled. For more on this story and to see the sign, check out toddstearns.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's this story in the news? We're going to talk to Bishop Jackson in just a moment. He's written a column called "The Democrat Party Has Destroyed the Black Community." What's the story in the news about the Olympic swimmer from America?
Yeah, four Olympic swimmers, including 12-time medalist Ryan Lochte, his teammates Jack Conger, Gunnar Bentz, and Jimmy Fagan. They reported that early Sunday morning they were robbed at gunpoint. By two men who were dressed like police officers. And that has caused a firestorm of controversy
in Rio, as
Brazilian authorities have been investigating this. They began to discover what they claimed are inconsistencies on the part of the story on the part of these four swimmers. So now the Associated Press is reporting that a Brazilian official who remains anonymous right now is claiming that Ryan Lochte made this up. Apparently, there's video, closed caption video of at least some of the swimmers at a gas station breaking in to a bathroom, outside bathroom door that was locked. The four guys were very drunk. Their stories have changed. This has been so bad that apparently a judge in Brazil ordered that the passports of the four swimmers be seized so that the police and law enforcement could go over their story. That's the way they were talking about it earlier in the week. But now Ryan Lochte and one of the other guys, I'm not sure which one, I think it's Jimmy Fagan maybe, they left. They say they left on time as scheduled.
You mean left to come back to the States?
Came back to the States. The other two guys, Conger and Bentz, were not able to leave. They were actually on a plane when Brazilian authorities stopped the plane, removed those guys, took their passports. They've been questioned. They were released earlier today. in discussions. So this is, it's apparently a crime, and maybe in this country too, to give a false report like that to the police.
Well, they blame, and they make them look bad. They said they were robbed by people dressed like police.
Yes.
It does make them look bad, because if in fact the story is bogus,
right,
that these guys were drunk and they made this up.
Yeah.
If that's what happened, which it appears.
And then, now Ryan Lochte's saying, no, I would never make this up.
Okay.
So he's claiming it's a weird story because there's actually video of them coming back into the hotel early Sunday morning, and they have to pass through a metal detector, and they're putting stuff into a little bucket and then going through the metal detector, and it looks like maybe they still have their wallets. So it's a strange story. It's one of those things where you go, this doesn't add up, but you don't want to call someone a liar. I mean, if these guys were robbed. But Ryan Lochte has changed his story on a couple of occasions here this week, and so who knows what's going to happen to two swimmers still there. And I read, I don't have the information in front of me, read this morning that a British athlete was actually robbed at gunpoint. I think that was yesterday. So it's just a weird thing. And these Olympics have been strange too, just because of all the pollution in the water and all those kinds of things. So I'm sure the Brazilians don't want any more bad publicity. So,
if it's not true, if this didn't happen, if these swimmers made this story up, then obviously the Brazilian authorities want them to confess to that.
Right.
Because it makes their country look bad.
Right.
Not that you couldn't be robbed in anywhere else in the world.
That's right. You can.
Robbing is universal.
Yeah.
And so.
But they had so much bad publicity, the Brazilians,
right,
in the lead up, with all kinds of questions about whether or not the Olympic Village was going to be done. And there was all kinds of, some of the, the lights didn't work and some of the, the housing, and so they've had to deal with their fair share of bad publicity, and this was something apparently that just angered this Brazilian judge, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but the judge said, well, they're not leaving, take their passports, but two of them, Lochte,
the swimmer, he's probably second only to Michael Phelps in terms of medals.
I think that's right.
He said, quote, we got pulled over in the taxi and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge, no lights, no nothing, just a police badge, and they pulled us over. I guess it was in a taxi cab. He was in a taxi. They pulled out their guns. They told the other swimmers to get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not going to get on the ground. Wow.
And then he says that one of them put the
gun
to his
forehead.
Yeah,
and then the guy pulled out his gun. He cocked it and put it on my forehead. And he said, get down. And I put my hands up. I was like, whatever. He took our money. He took my wallet. He left my cell phone. He left my credentials, end of quote. That doesn't sound okay. I don't know. I'm not going to call the guy a liar because he may be telling the truth. That isn't how I would have reacted. If a guy had me at gunpoint,
right,
I wouldn't be saying whatever.
Yes.
I'd be getting on the ground saying, yes, please don't shoot me.
Yeah.
His
story has changed.
He acts like I haven't done it. He said I said to them, okay. Let me back up just a minute. He's thinking maybe this is the police because they're dressed like the police.
Right.
So he says. So he's saying, I'm not getting on the ground. Evidently, he hadn't been paying attention to what's happening in America. Huh? When the cops tell you to get on the ground, you get on the ground.
Right.
So these police told him to get on the ground, these Brazilian police, according to this story. And he said, I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting on the ground. Anyway, what did you say?
Well, now he's changed his story. Now he said, well, the guy didn't put the gun to my forehead. He just kind of waved it around. And now to me, I'm just sitting here going, again, I'm like you. I'm not calling him a liar.
Right.
But that's not something you forget. You don't.
No.
Oh, he waved the gun around. Oh, I can't remember whether he waved the gun around or put it against my forehead. No, if he put it against my forehead, I'm remembering that even if I am, drunk to the world.
Right.
Get, so
Get down.
It's just the weirdest story. A strange Olympics.
If they made it up, the truth's going to come out. It's four of them, right?
Four of them.
Somebody's going to say, all right, we're.
Somebody's going to say, you know, so-and-so made this up
and we
didn't want to throw them under the bus, so right. We went with it, but I'm not staying. Right. I'm not staying going to Brazil jail.
Right, because they were. Did you say all four of them are back now? Or two of them?
Two of them. Ryan Lochte and.
The other two are still in Brazil?
And I think maybe Jimmy Fagan. They left. They said we left as scheduled. And the other two guys are trying to get on a plane to get out, and they pulled them off the plane. It's like something out of a movie. It's just a strange. Mm-hmm. It's just a strange story, and it won't go away. You know, it's one of those things where, I mean, I've been seeing it on the news. It's almost. I was watching some of the Olympics last night, turned it over, flipped it over, and this is the story they were talking about. We weren't even talking about some of the Olympic competitions. So this is just starting to come front and center, which is probably something the International Olympic Committee doesn't like either. So.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is Bishop Jackson, she getting him on the phone? Can't find him? Trying to round him up? Working on getting him on.
Well, I do have a bizarre story. If you want me
is
to,
is it about Area 51?
It does. No, it doesn't.
There is a new Area 51 story out there. I saw it this morning.
I saw the headline. I didn't read the story.
Anyway, I'll get it. You go ahead with what you got.
Well, this is from the Princeton Human Resources. So, Princeton University, the HR department, has sent out a new policy, and it is in effect at the Ivy League school. And it spells out its directive for everyone in the university to use language that's more gender inclusive. So no more using the word man. Okay, so.
What now? Repeat what you just said. I was half paying attention.
The new policy from Princeton University, its HR department. This is, it is now the policy of the university, although they're not going to punish students for using gender-specific language, but they want everyone using gender-neutral language. So they don't want you saying, man and wife. They want you to talk about, spouse and spouse or partners. You don't use the word man like in businessman. You use business person, firefighter instead of fireman, which I understand some of that. You want that. There's nothing wrong with, being inclusive. But the Princeton University LGBT Center has now also offered the guide for various gender pronouns. Have you ever seen some of these substitutes for him and her?
And no, please share with me. Good grief.
Well, right, instead of using him and her, they want you to use, I guess these are like made up pronouns. Z and X, that's Z-E and then X-E. I don't even know how you pronounce X-E, but you use Z.
Is this on campus for Princeton students?
Yes.
Is this who this is for?
For Princeton students, but also people who work
at
the
university.
These
are smart people. Supposed to be some of our smartest people.
Professors, people who work in the administration.
What is the deal? What do you think? This is all ridiculous, and you laugh about it, but what is their point, you think? What's the driving point of this PC gender-neutral language stuff? What are they trying to get at?
Well, they believe that language furthers oppression. So if you use him and her, that furthers the oppression of transgendered students.
Transgendered students?
Yes. And then there's also the gender
issue. So we change the whole language.
Right.
The whole language of him and her and she and boy and girl and all this.
Right.
For 0.3% of the population.
Yeah, and it's not just that. Some of this is for, for women who are oppressed as well. So, don't use mankind, use humankind. That's been going on for a while. Don't talk about man hours. Say person hours. Don't say man power.
What about man up? Can you man up?
You can't man up either. I'm not sure.
What do you do?
I don't know. Person up. Person up, Tim.
That just doesn't have the same ring.
Person up, Tim.
When you're out on the basketball court with your buddies or whatever.
Person up.
That's not going to – that'll never change.
Yeah.
Man up's going to always be – what about man on the moon? What about man in the moon?
Person.
What are we going to do with that one?
Person in the moon, Tim. Come on, let's get with the program here. This is Princeton University.
Harry Chapin's going to change his whole song.
Yes.
Well, person in the moon. I don't know. I just don't.
Well, that's some craziness from Princeton.
I don't think that stuff's going to catch on.
I don't think so either.
Some of that PC stuff does catch on.
Yeah.
But then they go over the top in on the
and I understand, you know, businessman, I understand. Well, what if I'm a businesswoman? I understand that. You say business person.
Well, that's okay. Businesswoman, business person, that's all right because you're not a man.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know, just getting some of that stuff. Man has always been understood in many ways in the English language as a generic term.
Right, for mankind.
Mankind.
Man and woman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, what about woman? That's got the word man in it. So
Whoa. The whoa community. I don't know how Trump's going to appeal to the whoa boat. Huh? You could do that.
There you go.
You know, that way you take man out of the whole equation in the word.
There you go.
We laugh lest we weep sometimes, don't we, people?
Yes.
Some of this craziness.
We laugh lest we weep, and then I go eat. That's how
so
I do
it. So
it's
a cycle of...
Yeah, that's right. It's a
that's
cycle.
Your therapy right
it's
there?
My therapy for craziness. Okay.
You end up eating?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, but eat healthy.
Oh,
you know
it, Tim.
You know you eat healthy.
You know it.
Remember, pizza has the five major food groups on it already, so you don't have to search
that's right.
very far.
And the more vegetables, the better. That's right. The way I look at it when I eat
bell
pizza.
Bell peppers, onions.
You know, if there's room
tomatoes.
Around the pepperoni.
Okay. Which, I don't know. What's pepperoni made of?
I don't know, but it's really bad for you.
But it's really good.
But it's really
tastes
good.
Tastes really good. All right, you're listening to the radio program Food Today here on American Family Radio.
Craziness and food today.
I'm Tim with Ed. We thank you for listening to AFR as always. Well, our friend Bishop E.W. Jackson is, we found him, and he's on the program with us now, and he is a good friend of this ministry and is heard on Urban Family Communications, our sister ministry, their radio network. The growing radio network there. Bishop Jackson lives in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and he wrote a column which attracted my attention recently, which I wanted to get him on to comment about, and that is the title of the column was "The Democrat Party Has Destroyed the Black Family." Now, that's the title of the column. I don't know if he wrote that. That sometimes doesn't happen. The writer doesn't write the title, but that was a very provocative title, and Bishop Jackson is with us to talk about it. Bishop, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Tim and Ed. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend. Did you write the title of this column?
As a matter of fact, I did, yes. Yes, because I believe that.
Wow. The Democrat Party, that's a pretty...
I'm sure that's going over well.
That's a pretty stout commentary there.
I think the data backs it up.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us about it.
It's been Democrat liberal policies toward the black community that have undermined the black family. In fact, Daniel Patrick Moynihan wrote about this in the 1960s, said it was coming. People excoriated him, called him a racist for saying so. And by the way, he was a Democrat and
right.
said policies needed to change because this was going to be a disaster. And, of course, at that time, you had about 75% of black children growing up in two-parent families, and now 72% of black children are born out of wedlock and about 66% grow up in single-parent families. And it was all about a welfare policy that said, we're now going to rescue black people from poverty, but with one proviso, we're only going to take care of women who live in homes without men. And so this literally happened where men who were cohabitating with women would sneak out. They wouldn't get married. They would sneak out when the welfare officer came to check on the family. And it started a downward spiral that has continued right to today. And frankly, I don't see it getting any better right now because this president has returned to the policies that I thought we'd overcome, you know, with policies that encourage work, that encourage family formation. And now we're right back to the same old thing. So, yeah, I laid that entirely at the feet of the Democrat Party and its liberal policies.
Well, Bishop Jackson, this is an excellent article, and I encourage
people. We're about to post it, by the way, on our Facebook page in just a minute. Jade's working on that.
Okay, and it is also, I think, on the stand already, so this is going to be on our Facebook pages.
Where
is
the stand?
Huh?
Where can they go to read it?
The stand, just go to afa.net, and that is the stand is the AFA blog. So
type in Bishop E.W. Jackson, you'll get all his columns there.
Right, that's right. A great line from this blog, Bishop Jackson. You said, "A father and mother raising children is not a racial idea." Help me understand why a lot of times I hear stories, I read articles where I'll hear the complaint from people in the black community who say, especially young people, if I study and work hard, I'm accused of being white. How come being educated and successful is considered acting white amongst at least some in the black community? I would think that, as you point out in your article, a father or mother raising children is not a racial idea, and neither is being educated and successful.
Well, I think what's happened is every pathology that has grown up within the black community, I mean pathologies like that, pathologies like snitches get stitches, cops are the enemy, it's okay to deal drugs because the man won't let you do anything else. I call these cultural and social pathologies. They're false narratives. They're lies, but many, many people believe them. And in order to justify keeping people in these circumstances, race is always the explanation. And by the way, I have to say this. White liberals have created and certainly perpetuated many of these pathologies. For example, do you all remember when white liberals began the whole move toward ebonics and said that, black people not speaking proper English should not be criticized because that was their own dialect and they should be allowed to speak their own dialect? The
right.
only problem is if you can't communicate verbally and in writing, you're not going to be very employable. So in many ways, they've handicapped black people by encouraging these pathologies. And then, of course, they've come in as the racial saviors to say those hateful conservative white people don't like you, but we're going to take care of you with more welfare and more handouts and more dependents.
Talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, his column is now posted at our Today's Issues Facebook page. Today's Issues Facebook page, and it's titled "The Democrat Party Has Destroyed the Black Community." And Bishop E.W. Jackson, himself a African-American pastor in Virginia, and I want to ask you, this is going to be a long road, Bishop Jackson, to rebuild the black community. You mentioned how strong it was in the 60s, and ironically, that's when blacks were going through the civil rights going through the civil rights movement, when there really was discrimination and persecution and
right
all sorts of wrongs and evils that the black community had to deal with on a very real level. Today, there's all kind of opportunity out there for advancement for anybody, and yet as Patrick Monahan, the former senator of New York, the late Patrick Monahan, Democrat, as you said, predicted, you have a reversal, as you cited earlier, from 70% of children, 75% born to intact families, and now that's reversed, and we see the ramifications of that. Why don't you think the liberal politicians, I'm asking a rhetorical question here, I think we all know the answer, won't, And so many of the so-called black leaders won't own up to this, won't say, hey, this is one of our main problems right here.
Because it makes them obsolete. I mean, if you can actually begin to address the solution to the problem, then they're obsolete. They are racial rescuers, and as long as they can keep people believing this is all the result of racism and poverty, which has been foisted on the black community, then they don't have any responsibility to do anything but just continue to use that rhetoric and benefit by it and stay in office and so forth. And by the way, I'm going to go a little bit further. Look, the black family survived slavery. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother raised my grandfather and his siblings as an intact family in Orange County, Virginia, in the 1870s and 1880s. And it survived intact during Reconstruction, survived after Reconstruction, during Jim Crow. It wasn't until the liberals decided that they were going to save the black community that the black family finally began to just fall completely apart. Now, that took some doing, because slavery couldn't do it, Jim Crow couldn't do it, but liberals managed to do it. And it's pretty tragic. And the best thing we can do is get away from government, get away from these liberal ideas, and come back to those foundational principles that made America great and made the black family strong.
Our guest is Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's senior pastor of the Called Church. He's founder and president of Stand Foundation. Bishop Jackson, tell our listeners about your radio program and then also your website, because according to this article there at your website, you have a comprehensive private sector recovery plan for America's inner cities. I think that's exciting. Tell our listeners about both those things.
Yes, they can go to our website at standamerica.us and take a look at that. But it is a private sector plan. It keeps government out of it because it addresses those cultural pathologies I just mentioned, as well as economic and entrepreneurial attitudes, values, and ideas, and educational choice. And I think those are the three things that need to be addressed if we're not going to be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now talking about the same problems. We've got to begin to address these things in a holistic way that keeps the government out of the process. And I think churches and businesses and private schools partnering is the way to do that. By the way, one of the things we're addressing right now, which I'd like to mention, is something called Stand with Law Enforcement. I'm in Milwaukee today. I'm going to be meeting with the Milwaukee Police Department and the Sheriff's Department with a program called Stand with Law Enforcement, trying to encourage people to pray for and support our law enforcement officers. That's another pathology in the black community. But finally, I thank you all for the opportunity to be on with the American Family Association Radio Network and, of course, Urban Family Talk. Comes on 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The program's called The Awakening. I'm having a wonderful time doing it. And it's giving me an opportunity to talk about some of these ideas.
Bishop Jackson, thanks so much for your time and your work and your message. And we're so proud to be associated with you, brother. Take care.
It's mutual. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop E.W. Jackson. By the way, his article that he wrote, we've been talking about, the Democrat Party has destroyed the black community, is posted at our website. Today's Issues, Facebook page. Facebook page for Today's Issues, it's front and center there, the Democrat Party.
Our producer, Jade McIntosh, she posts lots of good stuff there on our Facebook page. Folks, you ought to like us and
you really
should.
Our feelings are at stake here.
Right.
Whether you like
Please
us
like
or not.
Us.
Please like us. We're begging.
Right.
That's it. We shouldn't have to beg.
We shouldn't have to beg for you to like us.
No.
But
like us on Facebook.
But we'll do it if
Facebook,
we have to.
Facebook page for Today's Issues has got that column posted. It's also got our latest video that you and I did with Abe. Reason and Company. A 3-minute video clips that we do on various and sundry topics. And we've got the latest one posted there as well about the huge loss in sales for Target.
Right.
And we think it's primarily due to the boycott, because Target's bathroom and changing area facility, where they said, men, come on in to the women's restroom.
Right.
You're welcome. And a lot of 1.4 million Americans have said, well, you can do that if you want to, Target, but guess what?
We'll
shop somewhere else. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.